would, please, to the book of 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to try our best this morning, if it's possible, if the Lord leads, Lord helps us to finish a message that we've been preaching on for a few weeks. I think this will be part number 6, I believe. And this message really is working deep in my heart still yet. And I know that God's not done with it, and I want Him to really seal it in our heart. We've been preaching on the subject of renewing the inner man, inward man. Chapter 4, verse number 16, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, if you'd like to stand in reverence to the reading of the Scripture and rest yourself from your seat. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish. Notice that statement. Though the outward man perish. That's your human man. That is your fleshly nature, your Adamic nature. Amen. Your earthly life, your earthly body. Though the outward man perish, yet, and I like that word yet, at the same time, while the outward man is perishing at that same time, during that same time, the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Let's bow for a word of prayer and ask the Lord to have His way this morning. I do ask that you pray that God will anoint me to preach and anoint you to hear what thus saith the Lord this morning. Amen. Brother Tim, on the front row, how about you leading us to the throne of grace in prayer? Yes, Jesus, please help us. Amen. You may be seated. Keep your Bibles open if you would. And we'll be right in this passage of Scripture, and we're going to make an attempt at least to finish this morning. I don't know that I can do that, and you probably don't believe I can either, because some of the things I want to deal with this morning is very important. You say, preacher, it's Christmas. Why would we be dealing with renewing the inner man? Because that is going to be needed not only at Christmas time, it's going to be needed at any other time. There's always going to be a challenge, always going to be an attempt of the world, the flesh, and the devil to cause your spiritual man, the inward man, to swap places with the outward man. Amen. That is, your inward man starts declining while your focus is on the outward man, trying to improve it, trying to keep it up, trying to help it go where it needs to go and get what it needs to get. And if you're not careful, you'll overlook the inward man and its importance and the need for being renewed in the inward man. Now, I've been preaching a good long while, and this time of the year is probably the biggest time of the year for you to get backslid. Can I get a witness right there? I've seen that as a church. I've seen that at RBT. This time of year, when I guess you're so caught up with running and going and got to be here and there and got to get this and got to buy that and I got to get on this sale and I got to get on that sale, and you know, just if you're not careful, you'll be consumed with circumstances, consumed with your environment, consumed with this time of year, and you'll turn around and look, and your spiritual temperature will be on the bottom. Can I get a witness? I promise you that's right. I know it's right. It's happened to me. It has happened to this church. I've seen it. I've seen it back a few years ago. Stands out probably more than any, how that, man, we were, I mean, doing great spiritually, as far as I knew, amen, at the church. But then we hit this time of the year, and it was like we fell off the cliff spiritually. Our church did. And it took several months for us to get back on track. And I know this for a fact, that is not God's will. There's no way that's God's will. And I believe that in itself, that decline, that distance in itself would show us that somehow our focus is not where it needs to be. Because I don't believe if our focus is on the Lord Jesus Christ, that we'll have decline. I've never been defeated looking at Him. Have you? I've never been defeated or distant or down or declining looking at the Lord Jesus and listening to the Lord Jesus and letting the Lord lead my life. But it's when I get secular. It's when I get focused on material things. When I get looking at the financial or the social. Amen. Well, they bought me this. I've got to buy them that. And hey, come on now. I know that's right. Some of you wouldn't dare give so-and-so a gift because you didn't even think about so-and-so till you got their card, and then you, hey, we got to get them a card. They got us a card.
Right.
And but isn't that the way it works?
Right.
But we need this time of the year to keep our focus and make sure that we don't lose spiritual ground at Christmas or any other time.
Right.
What we've looked at is, and I'm not going to go back and re-preach those. You have to get the tape. But we've looked at the meaning of renewal. The meaning of renewal. Secondly, we looked at the must of renewal. It's not optional. It's not a suggestion. It's a necessity. And we gave you several reasons why that it's a must. Thirdly, the very term renewed suggests maintenance. It suggests that your spiritual man needs attention. Your spiritual man inside needs spiritual attention. Amen. Listen, salvation is in the hands of God. But your spirituality is in your hands. You know what that means? That means if I'm not where I need to be, if I am not the spiritual man I need to be and have the spiritual temperature I need to be, then whose fault is it? Well, I got two answering for helping us out. It's my fault. Amen. Amen. The devil may use people. The devil may use predicaments. He may use pressure, whatever, to get at me and try to influence me. But the bottom line is that if I'm losing ground and if I'm cooling down spiritually, it is my fault. And I listen, can I say this morning to all of us? We ought to be very alert and alarmed to spiritual loss. Because here's what I found in my life. It's a lot harder to get it back once you've lost that ground. Is that just me, or can anybody in here say, preacher, I can vouch for that, preacher. I can say amen to that. Spiritual ground, buddy, it don't take but seconds. Amen. Brief moments to lose spiritual ground, spiritual quality. But my goodness, look at how long it takes to get it back sometimes. Sometimes, honestly, it may take weeks to get back what you lost in moments. So we should not, God help me to hear that, that we should not think lightly of spiritual loss. Amen. Or spiritual decline. So I said I wasn't going to preach on that, but it couldn't help it. It requires maintenance. Fourthly, we talked about the manner of this renewal. The Bible says day by day. Do you see that in verse 16? What does that mean? Can't take no break. Day by day means that it should be done regularly, systematically, and consistently. Every day. You know, when you're on grounds of leaving the Father's house and going to the far country like Luke 15 projects, it's that very day that you let your spiritual life go. It's that very day, that very moment that you do not practice spiritual inward renewal with God, bringing back into a state of freshness and of newness. So there's the manner, day by day. Motives is what we dealt with next. I believe that would be number five. Motives. What is it that should motivate you to this renewal? The perishing of the inner man, the persistence of the enemy, problems and pressures of life, preventions in our life, what it prevents. It prevents fainting. It prevents falling. It prevents failing. We need that renewal. Amen. Can I say right here, the devil's plan, purpose, and desire is to get all of us out of the will of God and out of church. Amen. And we all know people that's done that. Amen. And I've had people, good Christian people tell me, preacher, when you've missed a few services, it makes it easier to say, well, I don't believe I'll go tonight. When you've missed a few services for whatever reason, it makes it easier for you to say, you know what, this couch feels better. I think I'll just stay at home. And if you're not careful, listen, I know it's this way for all of us. I know it would be. Because my outward man's the same as yours. The inward man and its needs are the same as yours if you're saved. So I can testify to the fact, ladies and gentlemen, that if you're not careful, that your must misses will turn into, well, one more service won't matter. And then next thing you know, your spiritual man is dried up. Amen. Your spiritual man that keeps you on track with God, keeps me on track with God. All of a sudden my spiritual man is dried up and it's not influencing my life, but rather the outward man. And you know that's right. When the inward man goes down, the outward man goes up. When the inward man gets weak, the outward man gets strong. So if I get weak spiritually, that means my carnal nature has gotten strong, and it'll move into the driver's seat of my life. And it's not going to take me toward God. It's going to take me away from God. Well, here's where we're at. Y'all ready? The method of renewal. This is it. How do you do it? Okay, preacher, how we do it? What's in this chapter? I don't know if you remember last Sunday night, verse number 1, we talked about keep it serving. Keep your inward man serving. Verse number 1, therefore seeing we have this ministry. Everybody that's saved has a ministry. I know when you read that verse, just at the on the surface, you think, oh, it's talking about preachers. No, every saved person has a ministry. That is, God has a purpose for your life. God wants to use you for His glory. Boy, isn't that an overlooked, simple truth of Scripture, that God uses people. That's the way He set up His plan, Brother Fultz. He set up His program that way. He could have done it without us. He could have commissioned the clouds to declare the gospel. He could have put it in the mouth of birds. He could have wrote it in the stars, literally in every language. But He chose to use people. He chose to use people, individual people. Now, I know this is simple, but Noah was just one person. Look what he did. Moses was just one person. Look what he did. David was just one person. Joseph was one person. Mary, the mother of the physical life of our Lord, was just one person. John the Baptist was one person. The Apostle Paul, one person. And you are one person. God can use you, and you should desire that. I want that. Keep it serving. Number 2, verse number 1 also, I want to say, keep not only the inward man serving, quit working, quit the will of God, quit praying, Lord, what will you have me to do, is not the way to deal with problems and pressures of life.
You're right. Right.
Amen. Amen. Right. Amen. Is that right? Boy, listen. Amen. The flesh says when pressures and problems come, quit.
Right. Right.
Quit serving. Amen. Decline in service.
Right.
But the flesh won't tell you to not quit doing other things.
You're right.
All
right.
Amen. Right. So keep it serving. Verse number 1, keep it strengthened. He said that we faint not. Fainting has to do with weakness.
You got to get weak before you can faint. And I've always said it here since the Lord gave it to me that if the devil can get you weak, can you finish it? Can anybody finish it? If he can get you weak, he can get you wicked. If he can get you weak, he can get you wicked. So keep your inward man strengthened. Let me give you this. I was going to give you this after a while. Lord, give it to me this morning. I'll just give it to you now because it deals with this subject of strengthening or weakening, being weakened. The inward man is, I want everybody to listen to this. This is good stuff. The inward man is not hooked up with this world. Everybody get that? The inward man is not hooked up with this world. It don't feed on this world. It is not interested in the things of this world. The attractions of this world, what appeals to the flesh is appalling to the spirit most of the time. So my inward man, Brother Tim, is not hooked up with this world. No more than my outward man is hooked up with heaven. Y'all, I mean, that's simple, isn't it? Y'all following that? Well, then how do we get weak inwardly? Is it we feed it the wrong things? The inward man don't feed off this world. Well, Lord, give us to him this morning. The inward man does not feed on this world. Amen. It does not feed on the music of this world. It does not feed on the movies of this world and the methods of this world. Why? Because it's not hooked up with this world. It's not attached to this world. Are y'all following me? Are you trying to? That's a good question this morning. Some of you are nodding your head and some of you are really nodding your head. The inward man is not hooked up with this world. So how does the inward man get weak? It's not because you feed it the wrong thing. It's because it don't eat the wrong thing. The spiritual man does not eat the wrong thing. How does it get weak, Brother Mark? Through neglect. As I focus on feeding on things of this world, amen, the carnal man feeds on that. Why? Because the outward man's hooked up with this world. As I focus my attention, come on now, listen, this ought to help you. As my outward man focuses on this world and this life, my inward man can only get weak when it is neglected. When I'm feeding on the fleshly things and the worldly things, then my spiritual man is starving. Amen. When I'm feeding on heavenly things, my spiritual man is feeding and growing and getting strong, but then my outward man, the old nature, is getting weak. So the inward man is brought to a state of fainting and weakness when, ladies and gentlemen, there's a neglect of it. We're not being led by the Spirit of God. We're not being controlled by the Spirit of God. So keep the inward man serving. Keep the inward man strengthened. Thirdly, keep the inward man seen. S-E-E-N. Verse number 2 and 3. Actually, 2, 3, and 4. But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So what do we see here? What's the method, ladies and gentlemen, of keeping the inward man renewed? One, keep it serving. Two, keep it strengthened. Three, keep it seen. Keep your life on track to where family, friends, work associates, school buddies, whatever, whoever's, or even the stranger, that their main thing they see is not the outward man, but the inward man. Now the devil's right the opposite. The devil wants you to use the outward man to hide the inward man. If you were here last Sunday night, I talked about and showed you there in 1 Peter. Was it 1 Peter or 2 Peter? Can't remember. Chapter 3, when it's talking about saved women, saved wives, winning their lost husbands to the Lord. You remember that passage? And he talked about them allowing their husband who is lost to see the hidden man of the heart. Talking about the inward man. Amen. If you're not careful, the devil will talk you into a fleshly presentation of your life, and the purpose in his mind for that is to hide the gospel from sinners. You think, well, preacher, I'm living a fleshly life. I have a fleshly, carnal presentation of my life. Amen. And that's my choice, and it is. But I want you to know the devil has a plot in mind. The devil has a plan in mind, and that is to keep sinners lost without God. Amen. I don't have time to deal with this, and I'm going to see I'm probably not going to get done. My goodness. Hey, man, I hope y'all don't get bored with series preaching. I just hope you don't. That's one reason I guess I'm rushing through wanting to get this done this morning. Amen, because this is message number 6. But God uses people. I believe this. I believe this with all of my heart. Nobody has ever been saved until their life comes in contact with a Christian. Do I have time? Do I need to take time to prove that? Nobody ever gets saved but what a witness has come in their life somewhere along the way. Isn't that right? If we don't believe that, Brother Tom, then why are we sending missionaries? Why are we sending missionaries to the field? Amen. If we believe that they can just get saved, you know, with a dream or something. We send missionaries, amen, to do the same thing there as we do here. We are to present to the eyes of man the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, yes. I know people don't like it when I preach against carnality. My flesh don't even like it. I don't like to do it. I don't like to hear it. I don't like to preach it. It don't give me no points. It gives me problems. But I know, Brother Bob, the truth is my flesh needs preaching. My flesh needs rebuking. My flesh needs reproving. My flesh needs the Word of God, the sharp two-edged sword of the Word of God to trim away the flesh from my spiritual life. And here's what fires me up, girls, on this front row. This is my A-man or A-woman corner. What fires me up in light of this passage that I'm reading in verse number 2 and 3 and 4, I know the devil's ultimate goal. Oh my. Right now, I don't care if we are getting on, get done. Are y'all listening to preacher? Hello. The number one goal, Miss Sarah, of the devil's working to get you and me and all of us to live after the flesh is not my happiness. Well, how many times the devil uses that? Oh, you do this, you'll be happy. You ain't going to be happy if you live that spirit-filled life. You're not going to be happy if you're sanctified and serving and sold out. Amen, doing the will of God. You're not going to be happy. Has he told anybody that besides me? But that, Brother Tim, is not the devil's number one goal. Here, live the carnal life so you can be happy, Brother Tim. That's not his number one goal. Brother McCarrick, you know what his number one goal is? I want you to live this carnal, fleshly, worldly life so that when sinners is around you, they don't see nothing. They don't see the hidden man. They don't see. I'm talking about how do you renew? Keep your inward man to where it is surfaced. Look at, I might as well deal with it. My goodness. Hello, while we're here. Look at it. Back in our text. Amen. Everybody there? Still got your eyes open, your Bible open, your mind open. Look at 2 Corinthians 4, verse number 2. I seen some of this earlier and I seen some of this morning. But as a contrast, verse number 1, instead of feigning, here's what we're doing. We have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. In other words, if we feign in verse 1, we probably are not going to be practicing verse 2. Why? Because it starts out with the word but, which is a contrast, Brother Randy. But have done what? Renounced the, come on with this next word. Hidden things of dishonesty. You know what I did, Brother Tim? And I'm going to show it to you so you can see I'm telling it right. I drew a line from that word hidden in verse 2 down to the word hid in verse 3. Because there's a connection. Look what else I done. I drew a line from the word manifestation in verse 2. Y'all see it? Manifestation of the truth. I drew a line down to the word hid. What is the purpose of preacher? Okay, why? Why renounce the hidden things of dishonesty? Why not walking in craftiness? Why not handling the Word of God deceitfully? But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And then he goes right into the next verse by saying, but if our gospel be hid. And I believe, Brother Tom, that it's clear that word hid in verse 3, actually it's used twice in verse 3. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Brother Bob, what does lost people need? The gospel. What saved person would hide the gospel? How do you hide the gospel? Oh, come on now. How do you hide the gospel? Look now. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Hidden things. That's that secret life. That's that secret life. Hidden things of dishonesty. Hidden things of shame. Hidden things to be ashamed of. What's the devil doing, ladies and gentlemen? What's the devil doing in your private life? By bringing in dishonesty, disgrace, and shame, and dishonor. What is he doing in your private life? He's making an attempt to hide the gospel in your life so that sinners cannot see the gospel. Is that, oh my, I'm going to preach anyhow. Amen. If we have to preach this plum in the next year, that's fine. I'm not worried about it right now. I know God's trying to speak to us. Amen. Trying to uncover the plot of the enemy. The devil is desiring, ladies and gentlemen, to cause your private life to be filled with dishonor and disgrace. Things to be ashamed of is what the definition is. Why? So that the gospel is veiled. The gospel is hid in your life. Come on now. Amen. Preach. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know you are not going to heaven because of verse 2. He's not dealing in verse 2 on how you as a saved person can make it to heaven. He's dealing in verse 2, ladies and gentlemen, with your life being a hindrance to those around you getting to heaven. Renouncing the hidden things of dishonesty. You know what a lot of people think? Well, preacher, nobody sees it, so it doesn't matter. Hello, preach to us, Lord. Nobody sees it. It's hidden things of dishonesty. It's hidden things of disgrace. It's hidden things. Amen. Come on. Hello, young people. The devil knows before he can work successfully in your life, he's got to get your focus on your private life. Before he ever took advantage of Eve in the garden in Genesis 3, what did he have to do? And I believe it. I believe I can prove it. He got Eve by herself.
That's right.
The devil's, listen, the devil's plot and plan, parents. I thought I'd let you in on this little secret. It's not a secret, though, it's in the Bible. The devil's plot for your children to get them in things they shouldn't be is to get them away from your sight.
That's right.
Oh, little Junior and little Sissy. Oh, I trust them. You better not trust the flesh. Because, hey, come on now. Their flesh is like your flesh. It is wicked. Oh, no, I've trained them up better. Is that right? Don't forget this. Their flesh, nor yours, is saved. Amen. Train them up in the way they should go. Keep all eyes on them. Amen. Well, hello. That's good parental preaching right there. Well, I'm going to let them do what they want to do. Guess what? What they're going to want to do is not going to be spiritual. They go forth from the womb speaking lies. You don't have to train a child to be a sinner. You don't have to train them to lie. You don't have to train a child. Come on now. You don't have to train them to cheat and to steal.
That's right.
And oh, it starts early. Lisa, how old is Harper? Harper. 3 years old. Surely a 3 year old would not have the knowledge of getting somebody in trouble. And Hayden's how old? She's probably 5 or 6 years old. That's her older sister. It's our nieces. Little Harper, already mischievous, gets her sister in trouble all the time by made up stories. I can pretty much vouch for that. My sister, I love my sister. She's a godly, probably one of the godliest women, Christians I know of, period, anywhere. And I've said that to her face and behind her back, my sister. But now I'm talking about pre-converted days. I'm talking about before she got saved. Well, actually, before I got saved. All she'd have to do, because see, me and my brother's 4 years older than me, and my sister's 10 years younger than me. So I had the rule of the house for 10 years. My sister comes along. And guess what? I'm still talking about you don't train them, buddy. They know how to promote themselves. They know how to gain some ground. And all my sister had to do, and I didn't even have to be anywhere around. First thing out of mama's mouth is, "All right, Bear, what did you do this time?" Can you get a witness right there, Jacob? I guarantee that's happened in your house. Well, I don't know how I got on that. Probably shouldn't have stood that much on that. But listen, keep it seen. The devil's plot, ladies and gentlemen, is to keep your life cluttered with fleshly things to hide the spiritual life. Keep it seen. Keep it seen. My goodness. I thought that was good myself. Keep it seen. Renounce. That is, disown it, give it up, say goodbye to it, renounce the hidden things of dishonesty. Not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Look at this, but by manifestation of the truth. Manifestation of the truth means an exhibition, to exhibit, to express, an extension of the truth. Did you know, are y'all still with me? Do you know that your life, the way you live, the way you look, the way you behave, and all that is compiled into you, The devil wants, ladies and gentlemen, for your life to hide the gospel. He doesn't want, look at it, are y'all still with me in verse 2? He wants, listen, verse number 2, he wants in verse 2 the manifestation of the truth to be hid. People don't get saved until there's a manifestation of the truth. And Brother Tom, I've got a line, Drew, from manifestation down to hid. There's a contrast. Y'all see that? Y'all see that? There's a contrast, Brother Bob, between the manifestation of the truth in verse 2 and us hiding the gospel in verse 3. You're either hiding the gospel or you're manifesting the truth. You're exhibiting the truth. What does exhibit mean? Put on display. Put out there for everybody to see. Amen. Why are we not seeing no more people saved than we are? Amen. I'll tell you why. The gospel is hid. It's hid behind the private life. It is hid underneath the Word of God and truth being exhibited. That's why I preach so hard on practicing the truth. Practicing. Put it into the practice, what the Bible says. Why? Because right here it is. The manifestation of the truth is to be given to who? I'm wondering if half of you are still with me. Being honest about it, I'm telling you. It feels like all the preachings are hitting about 10 foot in front of me in the floor. What I'm preaching, your flesh is not interested in. I promise you that. Amen? But listen, I'm just responsible for preaching it. You're responsible for hearing it. But look at this, the manifestation of the truth, the exhibit of the truth, the exhibition of the truth, the extension of the truth is to what, Brother Mark? Every man's conscience. Wait a minute now. My manifestation of the truth is attached to their conscience. Every man's conscience. I got curious about what that word conscience meant. It means every man's perception. Oh, every man's perception, every man's awareness. Y'all see that? The manifestation of the truth that is to come out of my life. It is to come through my life. Is, look at it. We renounce hidden things of dishonesty. We're not walking in craftiness, nor not handling the word of God deceitfully. But, as a contrast, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves, and that word of commending means to introduce ourselves, to approve ourselves, to stand with the truth. We're presenting the gospel through how we live to every man's awareness, every man's consciousness, every man's perception. Amen. I've had people get upset at me over the years. Duh. Because of preaching on sanctification and separation and living holy. Amen. I'm not talking about legalism. I've got accused of that. Most people don't even know what a legalist is if they wants to see one on the road. A legalist, my friend, is when you attach the law to your salvation. To summarize it very simply. You attach do's and don'ts and the law to you getting saved, Brother Tim. I've never preached that and don't know anybody in our circles and ranks that have. We're not legalists. But we're preaching the truth. And you, listen, nobody ought to get mad at me, especially a saved person should never get mad at the preaching of the truth of God when we realize that is how the devil desires to keep people lost. Oh yes, is by keeping that manifestation of the truth away from the consciousness of man, away from the perception of man, away from the awareness of man. Let me give you something to think about. If I'm out in left field, if I am 100 miles from right on this subject, then how many people have you talked to about the Lord that cuts you off that quick because of hypocrisy? People that did not live right. That's what a hypocrite is, by the way. People that does not live right, a fake, a phony, say one thing and live another life, wear a hat with two bills. Amen. Two-faced.
Right.
Well, amen.
That's right.
Keep it seen. Keep it seen. But by manifestation of truth, commend ourselves to every man's conscience. That ain't all the verse. A driving force is this, in the sight of God. Oh, mercy. Brother Mike, what does it mean right there when it says there should be the manifestation of truth to every man's conscience? Does that not tell me, Brother Silas, they're looking? They're looking at me? People are looking at me. People are looking at you. Somebody's watching you, good or bad. You're either leading them to the Lord, leading them away from the Lord. You're helping them get saved, or you're hindering them from getting saved. But there's somebody else looking in verse 2. What does it say, Brother Silas? In the sight of God. Not only are sinners watching my life, that ought to be motive enough for us to live for God. Parents, your children's watching your life. That ought to be a great motive for you to want to do right and be right and live right privately as well as publicly. Your neighbors are watching. But oh my goodness, who else is watching? God is watching. It's in the sight of God. I should want to do right. Why? I should want to be right. Why? Because sinners are watching me. Why should I want to do right? Because the sovereign's watching me. Keep it seen. Look at verse 2. Let me give you this real quickly. Lord help us. No, wait a minute. I ain't done yet. I seen something else. Actually, I just highlighted it this morning. Boy, this is big right here. I want everybody to look. Well, I'm not getting done, so don't be passing out on me. Verse 3. Oh my goodness, look at this. I never seen this till this morning. I took a highlighter just and highlighted these two statements. Look at verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, but if our gospel be hid, if means it don't have to be hid. If shows that it's your choice whether it's hid or not. It's not circumstantial, it's choice. But that's not what I want you to see. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid. Right here, write these two, at least make a mental highlight to them. You see that? To them. Brother Tim, you see it? If our gospel be hid, Brother Blake, it's hid to them that are lost. And then look at the two words of verse 4, in them. Everybody with the preacher this morning? Verse number 2 is how the gospel is hid to them. Verse number 4, in whom? In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. Who is the image of God? Or who is the image of God should shine unto them? You see that? I never seen that before. And I preached out of these verses before. I've never seen that before. The devil wants to use your life being carnal and worldly and fleshly and selfish. Why? To hide the gospel to them that are lost. And then the devil comes right in, who is a partner to the carnal life, and starts a work in them to blind their minds, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, oh mercy, I saw something. Let me just throw this out. I hadn't studied it out. I'll have to get on it and study it out, but it came to my mind. Is there a difference between our gospel in verse 3? Did you see it? But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And then verse number 4, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. Is there, we know they're connected, they're inseparable, but is that two separate emphases? Our gospel, verse 3, and the glorious gospel of Christ, verse 4. You know what's on my mind, Brother Tom, right here? Like I said, I've just seen this. Our gospel, verse 3, is the effects and the fruit of the gospel of being saved that is manifested in our life. What gospel is coming out of your life? What gospel is coming out of your life? Is there enough gospel coming out of your life to show people just by the way you live the gospel of Jesus? I don't know. I'm just throwing out food for thought. Amen. Look at it. In whom? That got big to me. To them and in whom? To them and in whom? I'm the one that's guilty or not of the to them ministry. How many of us, girls, ladies and gentlemen, how many of us would be so far gone spiritually that we would on purpose hide the gospel? Brother Tom, y'all are in the medical field. If you had a cure for something, you wouldn't be worth the salt in your bread if you hid it. Right. I know this right. Come on, are y'all following me? I know this will help you. You've got a problem. Right here's the cure, but I'm hiding it. I'm hiding it. I'm covering. That's what it means. I'm covering it up. You said, Brother Tom, you'd say, preach, that's sorry. They've got a need and it's fatal. You got the cure, but you're hiding it. Can we bring that over, Brother Yarnell, into the spiritual life? Don't you think it's pretty sorry on our part? If sinners need to be what? Saved? And there's only one source for that, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ? Hide it. Hide it. Why? Because I'm more interested in what I want. I'm more interested in the pleasures of my life. I'm more interested in that. I might as well just preach on that another lick right quick before we go. Turn to Galatians. Hey man, Jesus. He knows what we need. I don't. Look at Galatians 1 real quickly. We'll be done in a minute. I got to make up for tonight. Everybody there? Galatians 1, verse 15, Paul giving his testimony. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. Oh, come on, verse number 16. What's the first two words? To reveal. Verse number 15, God has saved me. Call me by his grace. That is talking about salvation. Why does God call men, women, boys, and girls to salvation? Here it is. To reveal his son in me. To reveal, meaning to uncover, to bring to surface, to bring to view. And if that's not happening in our life, your life, my life, all of our lives, then we're 100 miles from where we need to be with God. Amen. I know this preaching right there, the truth right here is being revealed. And honestly, I didn't think we'd get hung up right there. I didn't really think we'd get hung up there. I thought we'd be way on down in here. I thought that's where we'd be. And I know some of you are thinking, preacher, this is the most negative preaching I ever heard in my life, but it's going to end good. Not today, probably. It's going to end. If you'll hang on, we can get on the last end of this point. We're trying to preach on the method of it. How do you renew the inward man? It's actually going to take a heavenly turn. And I'm ready for it. But I know this, Miss Debbie. I could preach on heaven till I pass out and you pass out, and it will mean nothing to you if your focus is in this world. You're living after the outward man that has no attachment to heaven. Hello. The outward man doesn't get excited about songs you heard today. The outward man won't get excited about listening to preaching about having the inward man renewed. But we need it. We need it now more than I've ever seen in my Christian life. Amen. You can't give your flesh a break, buddy. You can't give your flesh an inch. You know how sometimes you got, I know sometimes I'll have my a beagle on the lead. And I've noticed with him or her, I've just got one left now. I don't have time to fool with him. But I noticed, Brother Silas, ever how much slackness I give her, she keeps the lead tight. You know, I'll give her a little slackness so she won't be going down there. You know, got to teach them obedience. But I'll give her a little slack so she can breathe. You know what she does with that slack? I don't give her slack, Miss Candy. I don't give that dog slack. And she goes, oh, Master. No. She goes, And I say, all you have to do is honor me and you won't be gagging. Amen. But that's the way your flesh is. Your flesh is geared to keep the tightrope. Amen. If you give your flesh a little bit of slackness, it'll keep it tight and it'll not be going toward Jesus. It'll be going away from Jesus. Where I preached early this week, that preacher said, you know what I've seen? And I've seen it too, but he said, you know what I've seen? I said, no, what? Tell me. He said, anybody that leaves a fundamental Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church never moves up. In other words, they don't go find a church that's tighter and straighter. They, oh, little slackness. And they always step down. I'm getting away from that fired up preaching. I'm getting away from that separation preaching. I'm getting away from biblical sanctification. I'm getting away from that. And I promise you, ever how far you want to get away from it, there's churches everywhere that will cater to your needs. Honestly, that's the truth. You can go to church, a lot of churches even in our county, and live any way you want to live. Now I want to make this clear. It's on tape. When I preach separation, sanctification, that is scriptural. Surely you saw it even in verse 2. It's everywhere in the scripture. And I've been told, let me finish here. I've been told several times, preacher, you're wrong. I've been confronted over that. Preacher, you're wrong about your separational stand, and you're wrong about that. I said, okay, look, I don't want to be wrong. Show me. You know my concept from the scriptures. You know my concept of the scriptures about the subject. What is yours? I never get a response. But wait a minute now. You know enough to know that I'm wrong. But you don't have your own personal laid out mind concept on the subject backed by the scripture? Negative. But I'm wrong though. Oh yeah. That's right. Well, all right. But we're going to keep preaching it. And I'll tell you why. Ultimately, number one, it's in the Bible. And I'm under obligation from the high courts of heaven to preach the word. Is that not right? And by the grace of God, listen to me now. This is on tape. By the grace of God, I refuse to preach anything that is not in this book. You ought to say amen right there, preacher. I'm not interested in preaching fairy tales and fiction. If it's in that book, Preacher Rackley, by the grace of God, is going to preach it and preach it in a fashion to where you can see it. I mean, just verse number two, just plowing through verse number two, three and four. You should be able to see how the devil, the god of this world, is using the carnal living in verse two to hide the gospel. Why? To keep sinners lost. Amen. Let's all stand our feet. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name.